Welcome back. This is Mark Steiner right here on The Mark Steiner Show and your source for cool jazz and more. WEAA 88.9 FM, the voice of the community. The other night, we lost an incredible human being. Grace Lee Boggs died, passed away in her sleep at 100. She was a person who was a revolutionary all of her life, fighting for change and justice along with her late husband, James Lee Boggs. And was a constant presence, as we just heard, on Democracy Now! And places where young and old gathered to look for a new kind of America. So we're going to remember her in the first part of this program. We are joined by Sine Huang Jensen, who is Asian American Studies Librarian at the Ethnic Studies Library at UC Cal and Berkeley, and is from Baltimore, went to UMBC and is part of the Baltimore Racial Justice Action. Good to have you with us, Sine.
Sina? Thanks, Mark. Thanks for having me.
And Adrienne Marie Brown joins us once again. She's co-editor of Octavius Brood, Science Fiction Stories from Social Justice Movements, which came out of AK Press, and is, of course, a sci-fi writer, emergent strategy facilitator. And Adrienne, welcome back. Good to have you with us.
Thank you so much.
So let's begin. I think that many people who listen to this program know who Grace Lee Boggs was. Many people do not know who she was, Adrienne. Talk about this just incredible human being from your perspective. Go ahead.
So, Grace was a philosopher and organizer who lived in Detroit. She was a Chinese American born here in the U.S., and she moved to Detroit and was caught up in the Black liberation struggle, Black power work, and fell in love with Jimmy Boggs, who was a labor organizer there, and when she was 38, they fell in love, went on a date, and by the end of the date, they were engaged and spent 40 years with each other recreating, basically, visions for what was possible in Detroit and what was possible for humanity. And then after he passed, she went on to have a whole next level of career in life. She published her autobiography, Living for Change. She was one of the founders and co-founders of several organizations, including the one that brought me to Detroit for the first time, Detroit Summer.
You were part of that.
So I came out there to facilitate, to do like a visioning retreat, visioning exercise, and met all of the organizers there, met Grace, fell in love with the place, fell in love with the people, and ended up moving there 6 years ago because I wanted to be closer to it and learn from it and learn from her.
And Sina, tell me how you came to know Grace Lee Boggs' work.
Yeah, sure. I first came in touch with Grace Lee Boggs' work in 2010 when I actually went with a delegation from Baltimore to the U.S. Social Forum in Detroit.
Oh, yes, right.
Yeah, and I have not heard of this Chinese-American woman revolutionary before, but she was celebrating her 95th birthday at the U.S. Social Forum, and I was lucky enough to attend their birthday celebration. I was just blown away also by the similarities between Baltimore and Detroit. I had never traveled there before. And just some of the themes of the crisis of global capitalism and deindustrialization and her words on visionary politics, growing our souls and growing our humanity. It just really was so powerful for me. So I only heard of her about 5 years ago, even though she's been a philosopher and organizer for 70 years.
Yeah, I also was there in Detroit for the Social Forum and covering it, and was there for her birthday party as well, which is the first time I had a chance to kind of walk up and say hello to her after all those years. An amazing woman. And one of the things, Adrienne, I think that Sina just said, which I think is really important, is that what she was doing the latter part of her life, the last book that she wrote, I think of The Sojourn from the book that James Lee wrote about the American Revolution from a black worker's perspective in 1963, which I read as a young man and just said a lot to me. About the where the world was, to the book she wrote at the end was this arc, and she did connect in a sense of looking at, amazing for people who are older who can continue to change and think, that she was able to think about how we change, what we do, how we build something new in places like Detroit and Baltimore in a real 21st century perspective.
Yeah, she was really fascinated with how we change the way we think and the way we relate to each other. And she was always saying that it wasn't enough to just replace power with power, you know, like just try to be in a struggle where it's just like, oh, we don't like what the right is saying, let's put the left in, you know, the left is what we do, something else in. But it was really about, like, how do we transform at a real foundational level the way we think about our role as humans in this world. You know, she's always asking, what time is it on the clock of the world? And really understanding that we're in a major evolutionary cycle right now and that it's our responsibility to be thinking in a different way. And that way was about preferencing critical connections over critical mass. It was all about what are the kinds of relationships and conversations we could have that evolve our beliefs and evolve our capacity to be in right relationship with each other and in right relationship with the planet. And it was a really compelling message anytime you came to talk with her. And I feel like she always met people where they were and challenged them there. So it wasn't necessarily like an easy place. It wasn't like she was like, oh, that's where you are, okay. She was like, oh, that's where you are, you can do better. No matter where you are in your thinking, like, you can evolve your thinking, you can do better. And she was very curious all the time, always wanting to learn. But, you know, the organizations and institutions that she created, if you look at them, they were really about how do we change our ability to be in right relationship with each other and to sit and really listen to each other, listen to what our actual needs are, listen to what the planet is saying, and make our policies and make our societies from that place.
And that's, in some ways, it seems to me, you know, how Gracie Boggs stepped out of the quote-unquote typical left continuum. Do you know what I mean? I mean, to be able to think about why it was important to build institutions of people's own, that they would gather together and work to create something new.
Right. She really wrote and thought and gave us so many examples of how what self-determination looks like. And she talks about this in her most recent book, The Next American Revolution, about comparing rebellions and revolution. She talks about how, you know, rebellions break the threads that have been the threads of oppression. They shake up old values. They fundamentally change society. That's unlikely to be the same again. But that revolution really starts in building a new society. She has this quote, you know, you can't change society unless you take responsibility for it, unless you see yourself as belonging to it. And she always talked about how we are the leaders we're looking for. So she really pushes us as revolutionaries, as organizers, to see ourselves as leaders and to take responsibility for building a new society, building what does that liberated society look like. And I'm so glad to be on the show with Adrian because it's all about speculative fiction, something that Octavius Brood talks about. You know, what is this society that we're trying to create that we've never lived in before, that we have all these examples from the past and myths and legends, but we are the ones that need to build it. And so that was something so powerful that she and James Boggs talked about, you know, this deep level of humanity. What does it mean to save and grow our humanity in these dehumanizing, oppressive structures that we live in?
Yeah, pick up on that, Adrian. You were about to talk a moment ago. Go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, I just feel like she was so opportunity-minded. You know, like things that would come down the pipe, like, oh, this policy just shifted, this just got shut down, or, you know. And often the reaction, you know, what we've been sort of socialized to do, even in movement spaces, is to protest that, to respond with a vigorous no, like a really loud no, 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 here's the boundary. And I feel like every time I would talk to Grace, it was really like, what is the opportunity inside of this? You know, like, if this is something that really gets people fired up, how can we use that fire to burn into the next level, to burn up into the next place? And she talked about this all the time. We have to transform ourselves to transform the world, which I think is something that organizers don't necessarily want to hear. You know, so much of how we're oriented is, like, to point fingers, to look outward, and to say, like, those capitalists, those, you know, military folks, those police, those other, someone other than ourselves is really the problem. And I think so often she was like, how do you transform yourself and the way that you are being, the way that you handle punishment, the way that you handle conflict, the way that you handle justice, the way that you handle relationship and love? How do you transform how those things are doing for the sake of all of humanity? And I love that that was something that she and Jimmy cultivated together, And then every single day of her life, you know, once Jimmy passed, every single day of her life, she brought his name up, and she used him as a way to continue to teach from the love that she found with him, to continue to teach every other young person. I remember I brought my parents to meet her. And my father was in the military for 30 years, and I was a little nervous. Like, what is this meeting going to be like? You've seen this revolutionary and my post-military father. And she just sat down with him and, again, met him where she was at. She was like, what do you think about Obama? Like, how are you going to change? What's your transformation? You know, and in the years since, my father moved out of the defense industry. And I wouldn't say it's because of Grace, but it's because of that kind of thinking, of saying, like, it's never too late for someone to transform their entire lives. And it's never too late for that transformation to then change what's possible for all of society. Like, each one of us that can transform makes it possible for the whole system to transform.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, one of the things is, as part of this kind of continuum for her, I want to mention this one thing for our listeners. She was, they both knew and were friends with Malcolm X and Martin Luther King back in the 60s. And they wanted, and were close to the Revolutionary Union movement that happened in Detroit. And the movements that happened in Detroit were part of the March on Washington. She even tried to get Malcolm X to run for the U.S. Senate at one point. But both of you represent two parts of a younger generation, separated by some years, but a younger generation. I'm curious how that continuum, that arc that you represented, spoke to you. As young people,
well,
we always hear about this generational divide. Sina, what were you about to say?
Yeah, I mean, there's so many things that are coming up for me, but I have to bring up just being an Asian American woman. And, you know, it's interesting because she herself, you know, when she was radicalized in the Great Depression, the Asian American identity didn't really grow out, come about until the 60s and 70s. And so I'm, as a younger generation, I've come up with a totally, you know, different way of seeing myself and seeing the world and seeing her. And she has provided such a profound example of possibility. You know, I didn't come up with a lot of examples of Asian American women revolutionaries, surprisingly, you know, in school or other places. And Adrian was talking about her father. I unfortunately never got to meet, introduce my mother to Grace Lee Boggs, but we watched her documentary together, and it was so profound to talk to my mother about Grace Lee Boggs, because this is someone who could be my grandmother. You know, this is somebody who, and could be everyone's grandmother, but the particularity of being Chinese, being Chinese American. My mom was blown away. She said, how could she do this? I didn't think this was possible. And that just was really profound to me, you know, that her life in so many ways gives us just these infinite possibilities of existence. You know, so many, as a young person, so many of our revolutionaries, our freedom fighters, our heroes, our sheroes, they don't make it to 40, let alone 100. So to have an elder, someone who continued to be on the ground organizing until 100, is just invaluable.
I'm sorry, I'm only interrupting because we're going to actually come back in the coming weeks and do a much longer piece on Grace Lee Boggs and invite you both back to do that, because to really reflect on her work and what it says in some depth, because I think it's important to do. But Adrian, as we have to close out the segment, could you close it out for us?
Yeah, I mean, I just think that if you want to understand more about Grace, you know, I would say read her autobiography and really tune into her post-binary thinking. You know, she was all about dialectical humanism and understanding that, like, we continue to change. Whenever we reach one extreme, we will turn around and head towards the other. And how do we start to be intentional inside that about the kind of humans we want to be and the kind of humans this planet deserves? And read her books, read everything. PBS just did a beautiful list of all the essential required reading. Watch the documentary. Get to know her. She left lots and lots and lots of wisdom for us.
She did, but she has a lot more to teach, and we hope we can add to that as we lengthen the discussion about her on this program in the coming weeks.
Thank you for having us here.
Adrian Marie Brown, it's a pleasure to have you with us once again. And Sina Wang Huang Jensen, thank you so much for being with us. It's a pleasure to have you both with us today.
Thanks, Mark.
And we'll all walk in her footsteps.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. We're going to have a very brief break and come right back. When we do, we'll be looking at ISIS, the Middle East, and other issues facing the world. Stay with us.